Good to be with you this evening, and we're going to come back to our study of Bible authority. So if you'll turn with me this evening to Genesis chapter 6 in the matter of Noah building the ark in a lesson that I've entitled, Make Thee an Ark of Gopher Wood. Good to see everyone this evening. We appreciate the presence of everyone. And in our prayer this evening, we prayed about our young people in the song that we just sang. We sang about our young people. And I want our young people to grow up and make sure that they're following God's Word in God's way. Many of these things that we're studying, those of us who are older, we're very familiar with these matters. But I'm concerned about our next generation. We always need to be looking forward to our young people. They will be the ones leading the church. They will be the ones as members of a particular congregation. And they need to know how to establish Bible authority. I can't think of anything more fundamental than the subject of Bible authority. Very important. A lot of things going on in the world. I was thinking about this earlier this week. A lot of things going on politically and otherwise. But we cannot overlook the importance of making sure that we make decisions based upon proper Bible authority. When we read in our Bibles and we see that even God's people made mistakes on this matter, we know that it is possible for us to do the same. So it's very important that we learn about this matter. This evening, we're going to be talking about what we call generic and specific Bible authority. And this is extremely important to understand this principle. People in the religious world do not understand it, and maybe those of us in the Lord's church may be a little unclear about the matter. And so it's very important for us to get a handle on what we mean by generic and specific authority. We're going to be getting to Genesis chapter 6 in just a minute, but to set up the point or the discussion, often when we are talking with people about the Word of God, we tell them that we must have Bible authority for all that we do. And when people hear that at work or school or somewhere else, they understand that to mean that we must have a specific mention of something. And that's not true. We often talk with people about how that we need to have Bible authority for what we do. And then they look at us and they say, well, y'all have a church building, and I don't read about a church building in the Bible. And so it appears like we're being hypocritical, or it appears like we're not even following our own rules. And so they misunderstand that to mean you must have a specific mention of something. And that's not what we mean when we say we must have Bible authority. And we'll explain that some more. This is often a very common misunderstanding where people out in the world will say something like this. Y'all can have a church building that's not mentioned in the New Testament, so I can have instrumental music that's not mentioned in the New Testament. My brother mentioned that to me one time. It's a common misunderstanding. We're not saying, brethren, when we say we need Bible authority, we're not saying that there must be a specific mention of something, but we are saying we must have authority. And that authority, as we're going to see this evening, can be expressed generically, or it can be expressed specifically. Of course, if it's expressed specifically, then we need to do that specific thing. But there's also another type of authority, and that is general authority. And so we need to make sure that we explain that clearly to others, and we need to have a good handle on that ourselves. And so one question that we're going to be looking at this evening is, how is it that something can be authorized if it's not specified in Scripture? You won't read in the New Testament anywhere about individual communion cups. You won't read about that. And yet we have them. You won't read in the New Testament where a church came together and then after a few minutes they divided up into Bible classes. You won't read that anywhere in the New Testament. And yet we do that. Do you know that in the early 1900s there were brethren who said you could not have individual cups? There were brethren, and they're still today, who say you cannot have individual Bible classes because they are not specifically mentioned in Scripture. Individual cups are not specifically mentioned in Scripture. And so there's been a misunderstanding about this matter, and I hope that our lesson this evening will help us to understand that. Tonight's lesson begins
some nuts and bolts of Bible authority. And so I'm glad we have our young people here. The first three lessons were more generic in nature, establishing the importance of having Bible authority in our life. And then we had a lesson on how that we're under the new law, we're not under the old law.
Tonight's lesson, we're going to begin to look at the actual how of this, how this is done. And so we're going to actually look at how we take our Bible and take steps to begin to establish Bible authority. God authorizes practices in Scripture, both in the Old and New Testament. Sometimes He's speaking generically. And we're going to start with knowing the ark. We're going to look at a couple of Old Testament examples this evening, and then we're going to jump to the New Testament. Sometimes He speaks generically. He makes a statement that is general in nature. And that statement will allow for aids or expediencies to carry that statement out. There's a level of freedom here in which you can have some freedom to carry out this particular general statement. And then sometimes He speaks specifically. And when He does, that does not allow any freedom. It must be done in that specific way. And so an aid or an expediency is that which is going to help carry out a general statement. Look at that word expediency or expedite. You have ex to go out, and then P-E-D, ped, which is foot. Paulo is a podiatrist. We have pedestrian. So it's this idea as if you were walking out to carry out something. So when God is speaking generically, He's going to allow us to have things that will carry out that general statement. Now, if God speaks specifically, we're not allowed to add to that. We're not allowed freedom. He has spoken specifically. And so an addition then would be something in addition to what has been specifically stated. So aids are authorized. Additions are not. Let me say that again. Aids are authorized. Additions are not. Because additions would be adding to something that has been specifically mentioned, and we're not allowed to add to or take from the Word of God. And we'll illustrate this with several Bible verses in just a minute. Again, before we begin, just some preliminaries. How do we know that God is speaking generically or specifically? When we open our Bible, there's not a verse that says, this is a generic statement or this is a specific statement. There's not a verse in our Bible that says, now when God speaks generally, you can have aids, but when He speaks specifically, you can't add to that. There's not a verse that spells that out. So how do we know that? That's very important to understand this at the beginning. We know that because this is how God regularly communicates. This is how we communicate one with another. This is how God communicates with us. And we know it by looking at the way in which the statement was carried out. And we're going to see this more clearly in the... You can see it in both Old and New Testament, but we're going to see it also this evening in the New Testament. When God makes a statement, our scripture reading this evening was Mark 16, go into all creation. When God makes a statement, then when we look in the Bible and we see His people, godly, faithful people, carrying out that statement, listen carefully, when they carry that out in such a way, we can tell how they were handling the general part of the statement and how they were handling the specific part of the statement. That's how we know what we're studying this evening. It's not because a verse says this is a generic statement. It's God makes a statement that includes both generic things and specific things. And then down the road, when you see His people carrying out Mark 16 or some other passage, you see that there would be leeway a little bit. Well, they're handling the generic part. And then when they do it only in a specific way, they're handling the specific part. That's how we know this. And it's also just simply a common way of communicating. That's how we communicate one to another today and that type of thing. So, you look at how God's people handled that. Did they add to or take from what God said, or did they do exactly what God said? That's how we establish if something is generic or specific. So this evening, and I would encourage also our young people, here's where you get into the nuts and bolts. When we're reading our Bible, read it very carefully. Read verses very carefully.
And sometimes when you're reading a verse, there will often be generic elements in that verse, and then there might be some specific elements in the same verse. Sometimes it's in the same sentence, and we're going to see this evening that sometimes it can be just in the same word. In the same word, there can be an element of it that is generic, and there's an element of it that is specific. And I hope that our examples this evening will help illustrate that. So when you have identified the specific statement, take note of it. But we also need to understand that there could be other Bible verses. We might be reading a Bible verse on the Lord's Supper. And there might be, and we'll see an example this evening, there might be a general part of that. There might be a specific part of that. But also remember, there's other Bible verses on the Lord's Supper. You have to take it all together. Or baptism, or whatever the case might be. So understand that there are other specific statements and other verses that go along with that, and you have to take all of that together. It's very important. So, let's start this evening. Genesis chapter 6, if you'll turn with me there. Verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, just if you're taking notes or just making practice here, here's an example. Verse 14. You're reading a verse. What part of this verse is general? What part of this verse is specific? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. That's the title of our lesson this evening. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is how thou shalt make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, and the breadth of it, 50 cubits, and the height thereof, 30 cubits. And we won't read the whole thing. There's other details. Look at verse 14. Make thee an ark. Make. That's a general statement. Noah could use a number of different things to make that. The tools are not specified, so Noah is allowed the freedom to use the tools. He might use a saw, he might use a hand shaver, he might use an awl to make a hole, he might sand. There are a number of different ways. God doesn't specify how you're supposed to transport all of this wood and get it together and build it. Make is a generic statement that allows for any aid or expediency to carry that out. But look in the same sentence. Make thee, that's general, but look at this, an ark. That's specific. That's a specific kind of floating vessel. The Hebrew word there is the same word that was used at the end of the book of Genesis for Joseph was embalmed and put in a coffin. The Hebrew word means a box. So Noah's ark was just a big box. It's a specific kind of vessel. So Noah couldn't make a sailboat, he couldn't make a rowboat, he couldn't make a canoe. He had to make an ark. That's specific. And then even more specific, look at the same sentence. You got a generic statement, but in the exact same sentence you have a very specific statement. What is it? Gopher wood. Gopher wood. So when God specifies gopher wood, you're not allowed to use maple or oak or cherry or anything else. We've got to understand the very important principle of generic authority versus specific authority. Look at the very next verse. You can illustrate this all throughout the Bible. And this is how you shall make it. I'm sorry, not the next verse, but the next part of verse 14. And shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And shall pitch it. That's general. He didn't specify, well, do I use a roller? Do I use a brush? Do I use a mop? Do I use a rag? Noah could pitch it however he could expedite that pitching. But the pitch is specific, and within and without is specific. There are general ways that God speaks, and there are specific ways. So, if Noah had used tools and equipment and different things, he would have been doing all of that with God's authority. But if he had chosen a different kind of wood, if he had made a different kind of boat, he would have been doing that without God's authority. Very important to understand the difference between generic and specific authority. Let's look at another Old Testament example. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12 with regard to getting the Passover lamb. We know that Exodus chapter 12
The Israelites were to sacrifice the Passover lamb and put the blood on the door lintel. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, these instructions are beginning to be given. We come down to verse 3. Exodus 12, verse 3. In the 10th day of this month. Let me ask you, is that specific? It's very specific. 10th day. Right off the bat. So get in the mode of reading. And when you're reading your New Testament, and young people, you're going to have to make decisions down the road. You're going to be in a church somewhere. There's going to, maybe elders, maybe not. There's going to be leadership decisions. Men, if you grow up, become elders one day, you're going to have to make some decisions. It's very important. And you're reading a verse. Are you reading a generic statement or are you reading a specific statement? Right off the bat, we've got a specific statement. A particular day of the month is mentioned. So that excludes all other days. In the 10th day of this month, I should have immediately thought, oh, that's specific. In the 10th day of the month, specific, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. 10th day is specific, but look at the statement, they shall take to them every man. That's not specific. So the people could raise it on their own. They could buy one. They could get one as a gift. However it takes to take it. There's different ways that something can be taken to yourself. And so God would have allowed aids or expediencies to bring that about. But the 14th day is specific, and the first month is very specific. So they could not have chosen another day or another month. And also look at verse 3. It is a lamb. And verse 4. If thine household be too little for a lamb, that's specific. So no cow, no chicken, no horse, whatever. So you've got these statements that have general parts to it and that have very specific parts. That is what's going to happen when we get over to the New Testament. There are going to be general parts of a verse and there are going to be specific parts of a verse. If it's a general part, then we are allowed to have some things. And listen very carefully. Some of those things may be things that are not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, like a church building, PowerPoint, communion trays, and many other kinds of things. So we're setting up the principle that if it's general, then God is going to allow us some freedom in how to carry that out. But if it's specific, there is no freedom. It must be done that way. And you could keep reading and find other examples if you go down through verse 4, 5, and 6, and so forth. But let's come now to the New Testament. The scripture reading that Daniel had this evening, turn with me to Mark chapter 16. You find this very same thing. Now here we're getting into an example of what I said earlier. How do we know that something is generic and something is specific? Well, common sense in reading English, we've already determined this evening that 14th day of the first month, just common sense says, well, that's specific. But beyond that, since we don't have a Bible verse that says, okay, these are generic things and these are specific things, how do we know? Well, starting with the Great Commission here, for example, how did godly people, how did the apostles and others carry that out? Well, you get that from the book of Acts. And when you're reading the book of Acts and you're seeing how godly, faithful people carry out this statement, they would have understood what that statement meant, then we begin to see how this works with general and specific. And so we look at the apostles starting on Acts chapter 2 and other places in the book of Acts. So Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. In there are generic things and specific things. The first main one is, Go ye into all the world. Go. Jesus didn't specify how that was to be done. That's a generic statement. And we know that God's people faithfully carried that out. So how did they carry that out? Well, there were different methods of travel. Sometimes they walked. Paul rode in a boat. Philip was riding along in a chariot. There's different ways that you can go. So the method of travel We're allowed the freedom. And he says, go into all the world and preach. Preaching is a verb, it's an action. There's some things about that that are not specified. Do you stand or sit down? Do you use a microphone or not? There's different ways that you can preach. But look at the very next word, preach the gospel. That's specific. So I can't stand up and preach math or science or social studies. I have to preach the gospel. So that's a specific thing. So if it's specific, then I cannot add to that or take from that. I can't teach economics and politics and other kinds of things. Every once in a while, I'll mention something like that as an illustration. But the body of my lesson needs to be the gospel. It needs to be God's word. We can find some other things here. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Belief and be baptized are specific actions. And so, not faith only, not pray the sinner's prayer, and so forth. But here's an example of where something can be generic and specific even in the same word. Look at verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized, is baptized. Well, the word itself means immersion. So that excludes sprinkling. But is baptized. As long as the person is immersed, God does not specify other details about that. That could be a creek, it could be a pond, it could be a baptistry, it could be a river, it could be the Mediterranean Sea. He didn't specify, but it needs to be immersion. So even in one word there, you can have some things that are generic in nature, but also specific in nature. Be mindful of that. So generic authority and specific authority. When you see Mark 16, 15, and 16 carried out in the book of Acts, you see how some of this was generic and some of it was specific. That's how we know that. Let's look at another example. Turn with me to the matter of coming together. Where does the church building, I've mentioned that a couple of times tonight, where does that come in? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God wants us to assemble together on the first day of the week, and we can do that at other times because the book of Acts tells us that Christians met on other occasions as well. But we can meet on the first day of the week. There must be an assembly. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Assembling. That's what God wants us to do. And there are different statements about assembling. It could be when you come together, or Hebrews 10, don't forsake the assembling. So we need to assemble. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we've just recently gone through this. If therefore the whole church be assembled together, if it be assembled together, or when you come together, God, that's general. Assembling is something that needs to be done, but God does not specify the details about that. So the time, when on Sunday, is left up to the judgment of the local congregation. The number of times, the place in town. And so this is where the building comes in. You don't have to have a church building mentioned in the New Testament, but you do have to have assembling mentioned. And we have a generic statement of assembling together, and that allows us to have an aid. It could be a storefront building, rental property, house, building, mall, and a host of other places where brethren meet. But in the same passage, look at something that is specific. It is supposed to be assembling to come together. Verse 25, the secrets of the heart are made manifest, so he will fall down on his face and worship God. This assembly was for worshiping God. This assembly was for prophesying. There were tongue speakers there. This is a spiritual assembly. And so it's specified to worship God. We're not allowed to assemble for fun and food and games and entertainment. And you see that even in some churches of Christ. They're ignoring the specific aspect of this. It was coming together to sing songs of praise back in verse 14 and 15 and to pray and so forth. What we call worship. And what Paul calls worship in verse 25. So there are specific things about that assembly that we also have to take into consideration. So that's where your church building comes in, or any place where brethren may meet. Always look, when you're reading a verse or a paragraph or a section, always look for those general statements and those specific statements. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and I'm trying to cover what we call the five acts of worship this evening that'll help our young people as well. Let's look at prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, there's so many passages on prayer, I just had to pick one. There are a number that could be picked. But when you look at prayer, there are general statements about that, and there are specific things about that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer," The details of that are not mentioned. Whether I'm going to stand up when I pray or sit down, whether I'm going to face the audience or turn away from the audience, whether I use a microphone or not, those things are not spelled out. I need to pray. And so some of the how of that is not specified. And so we're allowed aids and expediencies. There's not a specific wording that is given. There's not a specific posture that is given. But you'll notice in this same verse that supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So now we got a specific thing there that we're praying to God. Well, there are some religions like our Catholic friends and others who pray to Mary. Well, that would be excluded. If something specifically is mentioned, then other things are excluded. Some pray to dead saints. Some pray to be heard by others or to impress them and a whole host of things. If something specifically is mentioned, prayer, supplication, those are two different kinds of prayer. When specific things are mentioned, we're not allowed to do other kinds of things. So, just like in all of these other examples, you have generic statements and specific statements. Let's look with regard to the Lord's Supper. That was prayer. Let's look at the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, turn with me there. Where does the tray come in? There's no trays in the New Testament. There's no individual cups like we have here. There's no trays passing out. You don't read about that type of thing. So is that authorized? Well, it's authorized under general statements. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is based upon Jesus in the Gospels, but Paul said that he's delivering to them what the Lord had given him, that in the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, verse 23. He took bread. Well, we're not given the details of the taking of it and the passing it out. So a tray would be fine. Just handing it to somebody would be fine. You could come along and get it if you wanted to. There was one congregation that I was with in Europe where they all lined up and they all went by and got it. You could do that. You could pass it out. To take bread is generic in nature. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So the taking of it and the giving it to the apostles, that's not specified. And so the distribution of it, whether it's containers or not, or trays or not, these are expediencies. It must be done on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and 7. But any time on Sunday and wherever the place might be for brethren, those things are allowed. Those freedoms are allowed. What is not allowed is if something is specified. And look at the text. It says bread and cup. And this is taken from Luke 22 and the other New Testament passages that mean the bread and the fruit of the vine. That is specified. So that would exclude, as much as we would like to have meat and potatoes and hot dogs and hamburgers and all these other kinds of things, we can't have those things because bread and fruit of the vine or cup is specified. And cup there is not the container, it's the contents, what's in the cup. Metonymy, the container stands for the contents in it. Jesus is not praying for the container. He's praying for the liquid that is inside. the fruit of the vine mentioned in Matthew's account. So if something specifically is mentioned, then all of these other things are additions and we should not have them. There are some who are now serving the Lord's Supper with a common meal, with some of these things that are listed up here on the chart. That's unauthorized. And when you go to Acts 20 and 7, you bring in the day. Upon the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. So the first day of the week is specified. There are some churches of Christ that offer the Lord's Supper on Saturday. The Richland Hills Church of Christ in the Dallas area started that back around 2006. Offering the Lord's Supper on Saturday. For people who didn't want to be there on Sunday, they had other things they needed to do. We're learning the importance of generic and specific authority. Let's look at the matter of the contribution. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1. Train your eye, as you start reading a sentence, a verse, train your eye to catch generic things and specific things. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do you. Right there, the collection for the saints. That's generic in nature. Saints is specific. It has to be used for these needy saints. But the collection. It could be a basket that is passed. You could walk by and drop it in. Last summer, Sharon and I went to a congregation down in Chattanooga, and because of COVID and they were being careful, and that's good, they were being careful with all of that. They chose, while all of that was going on, to have less handling, that when you walk out the building, just drop it in a basket. That's fine. You could do that. You could pass trays. You could, as long as you collect it. But the saints is specific. You can't be using it for some other situation, as is often done today. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week. Is that generic or specific? That's specific. It's the first day of the week. You can't do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store. Let each one of you lay by him in store. The laying by is generic in nature. Again, we pass a basket or a tray. It could be done a number of different ways. That no collections be made when I come. It's to be stored up already. Some people say, well, where in the Bible is the church allowed to have a bank account? Well, the generic authority of verse 2, that no collections be made. It's already to be gathered together. You could keep it down here at the church building. That'd be perfectly fine. Probably not safe, but you could do it. And there are some people, in the old days, that's what they did. They just kept it somewhere in the church building. Or some brother took it home. You could do that. You can put it in a bank account. All of these are aids or expediencies. They're allowed under the generic statement. But when he says first day of the week, it needs to be that. And also, notice that Paul says a collection, and he also says, let each one of you lay by him in store. That's a particular kind. In that statement, there's some generality to it, but there's also some specificity to it because it does not allow any other kind of money-raising situation. No bingo, no raffles, no bake sales. It's a free will offering of the saints. And so, again, there's some specificity there that's important. Let's look at the matter of singing. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. One thing I wanted to cover out of all these examples was at least cover what we call the five acts of worship so that our young people can hear these things. Very important. Look at the matter of singing. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. What part of that verse is general? What part of that verse has some generality to it? And what part of that verse has some specificity to it? We'll read it again. Speaking one to another. Speaking one to another. That can be done a number of different ways. You could memorize the songs if you wanted to. You could use a songbook. In the early days, there were no songbooks. There was no four-part harmony. That's something that came on much later. But it's allowed because it's a part of speaking one to another. You could use a pitch pipe or not. You could stand up and you could beat the time out as a song leader if you wanted to. There's a number of different things. But it doesn't change speaking one to another. But what part of it is specific? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's specific. So that would exclude any other kind of music. That's why we don't have country and pop and rock and jazz and all kinds of other kinds of music. Because Paul just specified it there. It needs to be psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's songs that deal with our spiritual relationship with God. Look at verse 19. Singing. That's specific. That's why we don't have an instrument. An instrument is not singing. An instrument is a separate playing situation. Singing is specific. It's specific. So that excludes instruments. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs excludes country, rock, oldies, etc. There are specific statements here, and when there are, that excludes other kinds of things. Generic and specific authority. Turn with me to preaching. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. When I or one of the other men, young or old, get up and preach, and we have a number of those, I'm encouraged by all the men who do that, we have authority and we have to stay within it. Some statements concerning preaching, just like all these others, are generic in nature, and some are specific. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. Preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. There are some things about that that are generic. Preach the word. You can stand up when you do it. You can sit down. You can use a microphone or not. You can use PowerPoint or not. My dad used to put up bed sheets. And I've got some of those. I've been threatening to bring one down here. I asked Bob if I could do it one time. He said it'd be okay. If you come down here one Sunday and there's a bed sheet hanging up here, just know that that's what that is. In fact, I think it's a lesson on Bible authority, if I'm not mistaken. But I've got one of his bed sheets. You could use a bed sheet. You could use a marker board. You could use a chalkboard. You could use none of it. Just stand up. So we can carry out that command to preach. But then there's some things about this that are very specific, and there's absolutely no leeway. He says, preach what? The word. And then a few verses later, the truth. A few verses later, sound doctrine, you see. Not other types of things. Today, in many pulpits, it's everything but the word. It's entertainment. It's stand-up comedy. It's pop psychology. It's feel-goodism and other types of things. We have to preach the word. Let's look at the matter of who can do the preaching in this same book. Turn back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is teaching Bible classes, not the matter of women preaching. Bible classes. Let's look at our Bible classes. Like I said earlier, in the early 1900s, and you'll still see this some today, but there were groups that were called the No Class Brethren. They didn't believe in divided Bible classes. When you come in, like a one-room schoolhouse, everybody sits in the same place and they'll go through a book of the Bible. And that's fine. And they said, the reason we do that is because you can't read anywhere in the New Testament of a church coming together and then dividing up into Bible classes. They misunderstood the matter of generic authority. The generic authority to teach allows for arrangements of teaching. It can be all together, and that's fine, but it can be divided up as well. They misunderstood that, and they weren't just simply saying that, but they were condemning brethren for having Bible classes. And they were condemning brethren for having multiple cups. They did not understand the matter of generic authority. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. The things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look at the statement, the same commit thou to faithful men. That's general. Paul doesn't specify how you commit that to them. That can be done in a number of different teaching scenarios, one-on-one, small groups, multiple classes. You can use visual aids or Bible study materials. You're passing on the Word of God to other people. But notice also in that same verse something that is very specific, which you have heard from me, the things which you have heard from me. That's the Bible truth, the gospel truth. It can't be other kinds of subjects, like we said earlier in 2 Timothy 4. So there are things that are general in nature, and there are things that are specific in nature. As we close then this evening, I hope those examples in the New Testament, and I definitely wanted to go through what we call the five acts of worship, and some other things to illustrate this. I hope that we've seen that in any given verse or verses, you can have something that is generic. If it's generic, that means that it's unspecified as to the details. And God allows for us any kind of aid or expediency to carry out that command. Now, this is so important that I hope, Lord willing, in our next installment, the entire lesson will just simply be more on this matter of expediencies, because that has been misunderstood through the years. But expediencies are allowed when there is generic authority. God allows us some latitude and freedom and judgment according to time, place, ability, and gifts, and so forth. But if it's specific and it's explicit, the first day of the week, a lamb, you see, the 14th day of the first month, if it's specific and specified as to details, this does not allow any kind of additions. All other alternatives are excluded. No freedom. No judgment, no latitude. And we've got to understand those two differences. So as we go through our Bible, this is very important. We want to be as general as God is general. And when He's specific, we want to be specific. We're not to add to or take from the Word of God. Matthew 16:19, if it has been bound in heaven, then we're going to bind it on the earth. If it has been loosed or allowed in heaven, then we're going to allow it on the earth. We're not going to be more general than what God wants. We're not going to be more specific than what God wants. So I want to close with these two admonitions. Do not make specific what God has made generic. And that's the fault of, for example, our one cup brethren in no class. They're wanting to make something specific. It has to be one cup. It has to be no classes, just one class. You're making specific what God has made general. Take the bread, take the cup. He didn't specify one cup, you see. So don't make specific what God has made general. And then there were a whole host of other brethren long about World War II that did the opposite. They wanted to make generic what God had made specific. And this was the problem with David and others bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem on a new cart. And Uzzah puts his hand up there and he's struck dead. That was supposed to be carried on the shoulders of the priests, not this new cart. That's what Numbers specified. So don't make generic what God has made specific. And what happened was, long about World War II, brethren, God had specified the local church to do its work. They said, you can have a local church and you can also have something else, another institution. So that's when the colleges came in, and the orphan home, and the missionary society. But God had already specified in the New Testament that the local church is to be doing this work. They said, yes, but we also need help from these other entities and these other agencies. And so they were making generic what God had made specific. God specified that churches were to send money directly to churches. And they said, no, you can do it another way. You can do it more generally through a sponsoring church. Benevolence was always to needy saints. They said, no, you can give it to everybody. You can be more general in your benevolence. When God specifies something,
We're not allowed to make it general. Fellowship had a very specific meaning of spiritual association. They broadened that and generalized that to mean hot dogs and hamburgers in the fellowship hall. And then, long about the 1990s, they added the instrument, some Churches of Christ, Otter Creek down here in Nashville, other places, Brentwood more specifically, and women preachers. Preaching is specified to men. Music is specified to singing. But no, we're going to generalize that and open it up to more things. So both of these areas can be wrong. And by the way, I didn't mention Acts 15. To give an example of making something specific, there were people in Acts chapter 15 in Jerusalem who were going out saying that you must be circumcised in order to be saved. They were adding a specific to God's plan of salvation. And they were not allowed to do that. So either way, we can err. And we have to understand the importance of generic and specific authority. There are things that we have today that are not mentioned in the New Testament, but they are all authorized under generic authority. I don't believe our elders, and I will say this about this congregation. This congregation is not doing anything that I know of that is without Bible authority. And I appreciate the men leading us in that regard. That's not a small thing to say today. As you know, in this town, in this county, state, in the world, there are many, many, many Churches of Christ doing things without either generic or specific authority. And I appreciate our elders guiding us only in those things that are authorized. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. There are things that are specific about what you need to do. Repentance, which means turning away from sin, that's something specific you need to do. And confessing that Jesus is the Christ before others, that's something specific you need to do. And you need to be baptized. That's specific. Now, we have a baptistry here. You could use it. We could go up down here to the Cumberland River. Probably be a little chilly, but there are some things in carrying out those three things that are judgment. But those three things, doing them, are not judgment. They need to be done. So we would encourage you to do that. There may be someone here this evening that needs to come back to the Lord. But understanding the importance of Bible authority is extremely critical. Do you know when, and I'll close with this, do you know when David, Uzzah, is killed for touching the ark? 1 Chronicles 13. The next chapter in 1 Chronicles 14 and 15, David says, "We did not seek it according to the pattern." And he tells the men to carry it on their shoulders according to the law of Moses. We've always got to go back and check and see what is our authority for this. Because frankly, we get a little carried away. And maybe that's what was going on. You know, we see the Philistines, they had it on a new cart. We see what the world does. And frankly, we get a little ahead of ourselves and we get carried away and we're good with it. Let's get on board with it. And sometimes it just takes, we just need to step back and do it according to the pattern. And that's what tonight's lesson is about. Those periodic times, just to step back and do it the way God wants it done. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sit?